ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 7. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Go with me to the book of Daniel in chapter 7. We're kind of working our way through this between the hopscotching through the holiday season messages. And I think that's a good way of doing this. About a year ago in December, I began to preach on various things that had to do with our crazy world as everything was in upheaval because the election was evidently stolen. I know that's not popular among mainstream media, but for anybody who's been paying attention, it's pretty obvious that things got a little weird and they're still doing recounts and people are being arrested in Wisconsin as we speak, I guess, because they were involved in the election process and they were found to have been doing things they shouldn't have. My point being this is that I've been trying to bring us all along in regard to a biblical worldview of what's going on in our world. And so when we come to this chapter, remember that we started out, and I know this might be hard in a stretch for you to go back to, but maybe this you will remember, we started out in Daniel 11 because my main premise of starting there was because there was a lot of saber rattling from the Chinese, and everybody was thinking maybe the Chinese were going to really make a move, and we were going to be in big trouble. They were said to be up in Canada, and they were doing some exercises and being sanctioned by the government up there to let them be there, and they were also down in Mexico as well, and there was a lot of people who were wondering what was going to happen. But I was reading my Bible, and I said, this cannot be China, because the Bible says they don't come to the end. And so we went to Daniel 11, and we kind of made our points and tried to start there. But then it was one after the other. We went through the entire book of Revelation. We've been in the book of Daniel here of late. And we've tried to give you a footing for this crazy time. And if you were to ask me this first Sunday in 2022 what I thought I might want to speak about, I thought I might want to speak about what's next. Okay? You know, I'm not the guy who talks about making vows. You can make your resolutions. That's all fine and good. It's good for you to kind of, tweak yourself and say, I need to straighten up and do all that's good. Good. Start something. Do all that's good. But that is not for me to say. That's between you and the Lord. And if you're not reading your Bible, read the Bible. Okay. Can I just say it? Don't let it go this year where you're not going to make a time for it because you found out how that worked last year. If you didn't make a time for it, you probably didn't do it. Okay. You need to be reading your Bible. So that's enough of that. Okay, let's move on to this book of Daniel thing. Okay, I want you to know that in this book, we have a lot of information about what might very well be closely connected to where we're at now and what very well might be next. If you let your eye fall into this chapter, the Bible says in verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And there is the context and the content set before you. He's going to talk about this dream he had. The thing you need to back up on is to recognize Belshazzar was taken out back in chapter 5. Remember, he's having that feast, the handwriting on the wall and all of that. He fell that night. So what we see here is Daniel is backtracking in the cataloging of his experiences as one of those people up in the higher echelons of Babylonian political world. We also know that in chapter 6, right before this, when he was dealing with Darius, who put him in a lion's den against his own better judgment, but he had made an edict and could not get out of it, and he found Daniel delivered. So that's Darius, that's the Medes and the Persians. So now we're jumping back into the Babylonian captivity, is my point, and he's telling us some things here, because things are going to get real specific in this book as we go along. We're going to see a 70 weeks of years prophecy in chapter 9. And so, things get real specific. And this is just a foreshadowing of that. And yet it has its own specificity that we want to deal with here this morning. So look at verse 2. He's told us what he's going to do. He had dreams and visions. He's going to write about them. And in verse 2, it says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, if you want to know what the great sea is, if you remember in Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, the Bible says that the angel said unto John, it said, the waters which you saw where the horse sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So you're talking about the sea of humanity. We've heard that, right? The sea of humanity. If you've ever been to a large arena where a lot of people were gathered for a concert or some kind of thing like that, it sometimes looks like a sea of people. I don't know if you've ever heard the count that was there on January 6th in 2020 to try to let their understanding of how things should be going be known to those inside the Capitol building, but it was numbered at about 6 million people, a true sea of humanity. And the way that they got that number was that they had aerial view and they would be able to see all these people, and then they would count the blocks. And then they would begin to plug in the numbers. Now, your mainstream media wanted to put it down maybe a million. It was about 6 million people there by those you can trust. Okay, this is a crazy, crazy thing that we're being suppressed on so many fronts. But a sea of humanity is what's before us. And in fact, he will make that clear that it's not just talking about water per se, because it says in verse 3, it says, "And four great beasts came up out from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion." So you're talking now about individuals coming out of the sea. You're not talking about a lion per se. We're going to see that. But my point is this, that the upheavals and the winds and the sea, and these winds striving and so forth, there's always a wind in the air. You know, it's Jesus said, you know, you don't see it, but you know it's there. And he used that as a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. He says, yeah, you know, you see what he does. The metaphor for wind with the Holy Spirit is all about a person who's been born again. You know who they are. And that's what we always have to ask ourselves when we consider that, because do people know who we are? Because when the Holy Spirit's in there, you're different. Okay, you ain't what you used to be, and you aren't like the rest of the world. Okay, you're a unique individual. You're a child of God. And it shows. You look like your father, okay, when you're a child of God. Or you ought to. The more you get close to him, the more you act like him. Well, these are the winds that you might hear in regard to rumor. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Right now we got China saying they want to take Taiwan. We got Russia saying we want to take down Ukraine. And we got phone calls to Biden from Putin, and he's saying, just stand back, we'll take care of you. You know, just not worried about him at all, because he's not afraid of Joe Biden. Our world is in a place of upheaval, and there are winds all the time. But in this dream that Daniel had, he could see it. Now, it might be partly because, like with Isaiah, he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord," because he was a little unnerved by the fact that Uzziah was off his post. Now, who's going to come in? Would he be a wise man? Would he be a fool? As in Ecclesiastes, it says he didn't know. But what we have here now is that Nebuchadnezzar, and maybe the guy after him, I think it was Nabonidus, but it didn't look good with Belshazzar. You know, Daniel wasn't stupid. You know, he was born young, but he wasn't born yesterday. You know what I'm saying? He was an older man. He knew this Belshazzar was a problem. And it was found to be totally true in the way his life was ended in that fateful night when he took the vessels of the temple and brought them in and started drinking from them in a party, even though the Medes and the Persians were outside the gate. So he probably had that going on under the current. And because of his nervousness, get this, God wanted to encourage him. Now, guys, listen, God wants to encourage you. He wants you to have the encouragement that comes from knowing what's next. And what's next is, God's got a plan. The plan cannot be thwarted. It cannot be hindered. It will unfold with absolute pinpoint accuracy. And so when we're looking at this, Daniel lays down, God gives him a vision, and he's not only in dreams, but in visions, because he's going to talk to an angel here in a minute. He's going to reach to a guy. He's going to say, what's happening here? Okay, because he's so comfortable in this place among the heavenlies. And the Bible says, Daniel spake and he said, I saw these four winds, they were striving upon the great sea, sea of humanity. He says, and four great beasts came from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, when you're reading this, you know already some of the things that are going to be said, but they're said now from a heavenly perspective. If you go back in your mind's eye to chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar had his first dream, he said, I'm going to kill everybody if nobody can tell me the dream and the interpretation. He wasn't going to tell them anything. He didn't want any fairy tales. He didn't want to make up anything that sounded really close. He said, I want you to tell me the dream, and I want you to tell me. And what did the dream that he had look like? Well, it was a big statue, gold, silver, brass, iron, clay. And that's man's perspective. That's man's perspective of the empires that would arise on the earth, that they were golden, that they were like silver, that they were strong, they were like brass, iron. I mean, it was like, oh, glory and all things carnal. What we have here is heaven's perspective. They were not brass and beauty. They were beastly and ferocious. These are called beasts. He says, I saw four beasts come up out of the sea. And he said they were diverse one from another. The first was like a lion. He had eagle's wings. And I beheld until the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. There is one verse that catalogs the career of Nebuchadnezzar. Here's Nebuchadnezzar, who has the glory of all kingdoms. He was the golden head of his own dream's image. But here he's called a lion. A lion is regal. It is the king of beasts. It's undauntable, unafraid. There's nothing that can push it back on its heels. And when it says he has eagle's wings, you think in terms of some of the things that an eagle does. An eagle's not like just any bird. This is a bird that flies as high as it possibly can. It flies through clouds and to the sun. It makes its perch at the highest places. And that depicted Nebuchadnezzar. He was one who had really come close to the heavens. You know how close? He came so close that he had a vision from Almighty God and got an answer from one of the Hebrews on what that vision meant. And he was told he was the head of gold and he was the king of kings. And he had all these people under him. And it was a thing directly from Almighty God. And we made the connection before. The reason God intervened and got Nebuchadnezzar on board was because the time of the Gentiles had begun. And God was letting it be known, you treat my people right and you'll be okay too. And there are going to be times throughout the times of the Gentiles where some did not treat the people of God right. In fact, if you go back to Egypt, you wonder about Egypt. Egypt became not much of a world power after a while, but they still are there. They weren't wiped out. Edom got a real dressing down because they rejoiced when Israel was carried away captive with the Babylonians. And you got Nahum and Nineveh was messed with. All of these different things got a different sentence about them with regard to how they treated God's people. That's why it's always been a part of our policies in America to treat the Israelites well, to be for Israel. It's not because Israel's right all the time. It's not because they're a righteous people all the time. They're trying to maintain a basic dignity because they have the Torah and they understand the law and they have that Judeo law knit into their DNA. And they're not oppressors of people per se, but there's still a lot of wicked people in Israel, just like there's a lot of wicked people in every country. So let's not go on and feather anybody's bonnet here. America's a mess. They're a mess. Everybody's a mess. But I want you to know that those people are the apple of God's eye. And that's what the Bible says. He that blesses you, I will bless. He that curses you, I will curse. So we run our politics through that grid and we say, Judeo-Christian, we're going to watch out for Israel. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was going to be the first guy at the front door who's got prominence and power over Israel. Israel would never be its own kingdom anymore. By the time Jesus comes, they're under Rome. They've been bumped around. They tried to keep their identity in the midst of dispersions and in the midst of conquests, in the midst of terrible times. And yet, they're still there today, 2,500, 2,600 years later from this time to that. Israel's still there. Miracle of God. So I say to you that what happened with Nebuchadnezzar is that Nebuchadnezzar got a vision so that they would be treated right out of the gate. And they were treated right out of the gate. Daniel got raised to the highest peaks of power and his three friends, they got high places in the echelons of power of Babylon. And as long as Nebuchadnezzar behaved himself, it was going to go well with him. But he didn't. He built a golden image and he got everybody worshiping that. Remember? And what happened? Well, when that happened, three Hebrews didn't bow down. And they were cast into the fiery furnace. So not only did he get a vision from God, one wing of this eagle, but he also got all the way up there and saw God again when he saw him in the fire. There's a fourth man in there. I saw him in my dream. I saw him in the fire. And still didn't get it. It was plucked. Why? Because he stood up and said, look what great kingdom I have made. And he was given insanity. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.